Yeah, Darren, they say the FIFA World Cup is a place where attraction can spark at any minute because the whole world is out celebrating together this summer.
That's a lovely thought, Joe, yeah? But have you actually seen what fans wear? It's hard to spark attraction when you've got a large German sausage hat glued to your head and face paint melting into your eyes.
Okay, that's true. But here, that's where Lynx comes in. As official sponsors of the tournament, they're making sure we're armed with the finest fragrances for match day and beyond.
They want us to smell our best when we look our worst. It's about putting your best foot forward, even if your outfit is a 0 out of 10.
Exactly. The FIFA World Cup is coming, so make sure you're prepared. Get your Lynx fragrance today and be the most ridiculous looking, best smelling fan in the pub this summer.
I'm wearing a hat that looks like a clog.
You do you, Darren.
That's what I'm gonna do.
You do you. Go Loud.
Would you like to come and stall it?
Ah, will you just stall it, look?
I'd like to come and stall it.
I'm not really in the mood.
Well, come on and bleed and stall it.
Yeah, house hatcher.
I'm not a house hatcher.
We'll stall it for a crack. We're gonna have a laugh.
I wish I'd hit record for what you just said there, Joe. But you would have intercourse with the moon, is what you said.
I would have sex with the moon.
How are you?
Good. Are we recording now?
We are, yeah.
Good, good. How are you? You look fresh, man. Fresh haircut and everything.
I got a buzz. I got a buzz cut from a lovely man in Castlebar. Did a great job on it. And it is, to me, the equivalent of going to therapy or counsellor.
Yeah.
I just feel in the chair before, during and after, that little bounce you get, that barber bounce that lasts maybe an hour or two. Fuck.
2 hours for a haircut?
No, as in afterwards, that new cut feeling.
The afterglow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the
just
haircut
feels
glow.
Fucking great. So
I don't get it. I never get that.
No.
I just feel cold. Whenever I get a haircut, I just feel kind of...
Wah!
I feel exposed. I feel like a newborn baby.
Yeah.
You know, like an animal could just come and take me.
Like your shell is gone.
Yeah.
Your tortoise shell.
Yeah, yeah.
You may have noticed, listeners, that we're flying on one wing today. One and a half wings. Because Darren's not with us, unfortunately. Couldn't make it in, but we've got Joe in.
I'm here.
He's here.
I'm here.
So we're going to do a little Brucey bonus for this week's main.
Mm-hmm.
And the two boys back together as God intended this week for next week's recordings. But we do have some questions in from your beloved listeners. Padraig Nolan.
Who?
Padraig Nolan.
Okay.
Or Padraig?
I'd say Padraig.
Do you say Padraig?
Paddy.
Paddy. Padraig. P. Nolan. Didn't say where he's from. Well, lads, love the deep dives. Please keep them up. I just had a question for Joe. Same for anyone that is partial to conspiracy theories. Why, when he watches a video or reads articles that go against the official story, he believes 100%, but questions real evidence and facts when they are explained plainly. A lot of the conspiracies are just questions with little or no proof, but when facts are actually presented, they don't want to believe. Thank you. He's in Carlo.
The thing about conspiracy theories is the information that's not missing. You can believe it. Let's say...
Oh, he's back, he's back, yes.
There's conspiracy theories that I love and that I believe, because when people want to present facts and figures and information and those facts aren't there, that's what, like, I'd love for him to give a solid example.
Mm.
Like he's saying, when I read an article or when I watch a video or whatever that says one thing or another, why wouldn't I believe it? You have to take things on face value. So when there's arguments against it, and they don't really hold water, then that's why I get excited.
But I think, maybe I'm speaking for Padraig here, but I'll definitely speak for myself. Taking the example on the back of the deep dives about the moon.
Sure.
Time after time, Owen would step up with evidence. And for the want of a more, I suppose, more eloquent word, you poo-pooed him at every given turn. And I think he was like, but baddie blah.
Because I had evidence, though, as well, on the contrary.
But he's, I think, well... In the court of law, I think his maybe would stand up more readily than yours. And my theory is that, my conspiracy theory about conspiracy theories is that it's more fun. They're just more fun. And I think that in the absence of hard evidence that has yet to be provided, in that vacuum, people will fill it.
I think so often.
With some fun ideas.
More often than not, in modern days, we have seen people being called conspiracy theorists. And the conspiracy theories that they were accused of being hyperbolic or ridiculous have come to fruition and come to truth. And it's like, they're all turning out to be facts rather than conspiracy theories. So,
I suppose even a broken clock.
Ah, no, come on. Come on.
Anyway, Porrick, you got the cat amongst the pigeons there. But do get back in contact, Porrick, if you have any more solid examples.
Yes.
Conspiracy theory is that maybe you're working for the government without any solid evidence.
This guy?
Yeah.
100%, that's Micheál
Carlo.
Martin. That's Micheál Martin.
I think so.
Porrick. Yeah, right.
Yeah. If you rearrange the letters of Porrick, it says it says government agent. First of all, shout out to Owen for fact-checking Joe. Long-term listener and stalwart gatekeeper when it comes to podcasts. Why does Joe associate everything bad with North Korea?
What?
I think we should send Darren as Joe's eyes and ears and he can report back. This comes from Andrew from Belfast. Mrs. from Dublin, unfortunately. But it was sent from his iPhone. So Andrew, A-I-N-D-R-I-U. Where is that? Is that Romanian? Andrew.
Yeah,
from Belfast. So shout out to Joe first, or to Owen for fact-checking you, Joe.
On what? Again, give me some evidence. Yeah, again, evidence.
Lads, this is a man who I would think needs evidence like Popeye needs spinach. And if you don't give it to him,
I'm just going to be weak.
If baby doesn't get his milk, like it's all hell's going to break loose. So, lads, please, if you're getting in contact, what do they say these days? Come with receipts?
Yes.
Why does Joe, though? This is where I want to dig down into a little bit. I'm going to sip my coffee for dramatic effect. 1 second.
Oh, here we go.
That was good. Why does Joe associate everything bad with North Korea?
I don't know what
Where is that coming from?
I have no idea. I need the receipts again. What's he talking about?
Andrew, please. Don't be throwing these accusations around. Have you spoken about North Korea? Have you any thoughts on North Korea?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I love it. Like, I'm really intrigued.
Would
I'm
you interested. Go?
I'd go, but like, you know, you wouldn't really see what you want to see going there. Which is conspiracy theory in itself. Like, no one has the facts of the... Well, they do. Like, it's a very bad place. But, like, you just have to believe what is being reported to you.
Yeah.
Which is... I don't know. Like, I think there's a lot of... I don't know what he's talking about. Everything bad with... Like, North Korea is a really bad place.
Why does Joe associate everything bad with North Korea? Like, I mean, your bad experience in Tenerife? Come on now.
It's North Koreans.
I was going to say... please come with your receipts. Janet, though, has come with some kind of receipts, and they're not good ones. Seriously, this is the lady who I will say is chief celebrant of Drogheda.
Oh.
Who has previously expressed severe disdain for your expressed equal disdain for Drogheda.
Yeah.
She's come back again. Seriously, send them to Talbot Street. This is in relation to the question. When somebody asks, where would you set up the aliens to observe Irish life at its peak?
Yeah.
And you very wisely, I think, suggested Talbot Street was an incredible shout.
Did I suggest Talbot Street?
Oh, somebody has said, I'd set them up in Talbot Street.
Okay.
To observe, because, Jesus, what a... The things that go on in Talbot Street.
Basis. I think that's what I was saying. One of the episodes was like, stick a webcam, a 24-hour live stream at Talbot Street.
Jesus, yeah.
And that would be...
For anyone that's... maybe doesn't know Dublin that well. I don't know how to best describe. It feels like ancient ley lines. They say Glastonbury and some places in England are on these kind of ancient spiritual ley lines, they call them.
Okay.
And that there's something, that's why so many people of that bent are drawn, kind of hippy-dippy kind of characters, people in tune. So they say Glastonbury's on one of those ley lines and it kind of has this kind of almost earthly. I think Talbot Street is on some kind of...
A ley line.
Some kind of, there's something going on. To describe, how would you describe it for someone to an alien to sell it to them, or even somebody from Carlo, for example,
to sell it as a positive thing,
or even just like, how would you describe? You're the equivalent as Janet is to Drogheda. You are the tourist board for Talbot Street.
It's like you know, when you get on a ghost train and you strap yourself in. That, like, imagine getting start at Connolly Station.
That's a walking ghost tour. Yeah.
That's what it is. And it's terrifying, like, you know what I mean? You are frightened and you're coming up to the traffic lights to cross the Gardiner Street Pass and you are hoping there's not a red light there because you want to keep going. Yeah. You just want to power through. You just want to, like, get me off this ghost train.
Yeah.
And then you get to O'Connell Street and it's not much better though, is it? It's like fucking...
It's right in the heart. If you go up halfway up the main thoroughfare of Dublin City, it splits off heading towards Connolly Station. And again, as I say, as you say beautifully, it is like you're walking a ghost, a Funfair ghost tour.
Yeah.
It's got all life is there. Everything that represents Dublin, for better or worse, will happen on Talbot Street. As a little microcosm, and I think it's a great shout for Aliens. I'm not saying Drogheda wouldn't represent that in a different way.
Possibly.
But Janet, I would absolutely plump for Talbot Street in that. And sorry, she's not having it.
And if an alien walked down Talbot Street, like, no one would bat an eye. They would be like, oh, there's an alien. Yeah, yeah, cool.
Send the Talbot, watch all the action over this town. Joe went to the parade and all of a sudden the whole town is a kip. Not having it. Okay, our accent is unique, but please don't diss the town, she's written.
If
and certainly don't tell me that Talbot Street would be a better place to send them. Janet, well,
I'm not convinced. Drogheda, I mean, if it's not good on St. Patrick's Day,
the most,
that's the best day of the year.
Showcase.
It should be. Yeah, yeah. It should be really presenting itself well, but it didn't.
As a shop window, Drogheda let him down.
Yeah.
Okay.
It didn't. Yeah, Darren. They say the FIFA World Cup is a place where attraction can spark at any minute because the whole world is out celebrating together this summer.
That's a lovely thought, Joe, yeah? But have you actually seen what fans wear? It's hard to spark attraction when you've got a large German sausage hat glued to your head and face paint melting into your eyes.
Okay, that's true. But here, that's where Lynx comes in. As official sponsors of the tournament, they're making sure we're armed with the finest fragrances for match day and beyond.
They want us to smell our best when we look our worst. It's about putting your best foot forward, even if your outfit is a 0 out of 10.
Exactly. The FIFA World Cup is coming, so make sure you're prepared. Get your Lynx fragrance today and be the most ridiculous looking, best smelling fan in the pub this summer.
I'm wearing a hat that looks like a clog.
You do you, Darren.
That's what I'm gonna do.
You do you.
Hello, fellas, and welcome back, Joe, from your Holliers.
Thank you.
Your abandoning us got me to thinking. If both of yous had the finances and relevant governmental permits, oh God, where is this going? To start your own airline, what unique flourishes, rules, extravagances, stroke, cost savings would you introduce for Stall Air? Oh, I like that.
Oh, nice, Stall Air.
Stall Air. So, Joe, you're just fresh off the plane, relatively speaking. If you were to set up your own airline, what unique flourishes, rules, extravagances, cost savings would you introduce? Like, I suppose money's not an option, but if you want to save some money as well.
I'd put a bar on the plane.
Jesus Christ.
Like, you know the way trains used to have the, what were the, concierge desks or something like
what?
That?
The Orient Express, maybe. No, there was
a
concierge desk.
Not a concierge desk. Fucking, like, you go get sweets and
stuff.
Concessions. Yeah. Concessions desk, not a concierge.
Excuse me, where's the... I'd want to get some theatre tickets. Yeah, there used to be like a little, a small little shop. Yeah, like a little tuck shop.
Yeah, a little tuck
sandwiches shop. And hot food, maybe sandwiches and...
Stick one of them down the back. You know, where everyone gets on. They put a door down the back. Close that door. We only need one door on a plane.
Would you sacrifice a quicker exit from the plane for... the access to snacks.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I would. Definitely. Hammocks.
Go on.
Above the seats.
Mm.
You know, between... You know when you open the overhead luggage compartments?
Yeah.
So the space between the overhead luggage compartments, I think you could stick some hammocks up there, and if you wanted to go up there, you could lie down
have a kip.
A nap. It'd create some space then between for the seats.
Like you see these... hotels in Tokyo or...
Yeah.
It's kind of for people that have worked too late and they just need somewhere to... Literally, you climb into a tube and spend
the night, stayed
plug
in,
your phone in and get up in the morning.
I was in Barcelona and I stayed in like... it was a hostel and there was like eight people in there. There was four people in the room, on my side of the room. And you stayed in like... It was almost like an envelope, letterbox. Jeez. And you had to slip into it and you just slept there like...
Well, you're not claustrophobic.
I was a little bit claustrophobic, but I was more paranoid because there was no privacy apart from like a little curtain that you pull over your letterbox. But that only up overhead.
So we're looking at a shop at the back of the plane.
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
Yep.
Hammocks above where the baggage... Would you, no. Yeah. Hammocks up there. Come on. I mean, there's loads of options here you can go for.
I think... I feel like... So you know windmills...
I do.
Create power.
Mm.
I feel like there should be windmills on a plane.
On the roof.
On the roof. You know the way a van has a little windmill on the top and it powers the charges the battery for you and everything?
Like a mini wind farm on top of the creating,
why
generating.
Don't we have that?
Yeah. I see it.
Yeah, like that could power the lights and stuff.
I would wonder aerodynamics wise, would it be an issue? Or
convertible. Take the top off. You know, a little convertible airplane.
Yeah.
Ryanair had them last week.
I wonder.
Drop down window.
Here's an idea. That is a mini plane at the bottom of the major plane, the big plane. And if it's almost like a train that stops in Athlone, Kildare, you know, and if they're flying over a destination you want to get off at on the way to New York, well, actually, maybe not to New York, that's the sea, but on mainland Europe, you can get into that little plane and you go, right, see you lads, I'm off here. This is my stop. Should there be stops?
I think everyone should have a parachute. And if you want to jump out...
That's your... You can. It's on that, you. You sign the relevant insurance docs.
The pilot says, we're flying at 350... We're flying at 35,000 feet above France now. If you want to jump out, have a little visit.
We're over Nice. We're coming close to Nice.
Yeah. Hop out if you want to.
It's on you. If you want to... You've signed... Have you signed the forms? You signed them. Cheap ticket as well, probably a third of the price.
Mm-hmm.
And then... You provide your own parachute?
Yeah.
I'd imagine. And then you just jump out and there you go. Yeah.
I don't know why that's a problem. Press a little button. Your seat just drops out.
God, yeah.
And then you just, like a hatch door opens under every seat and you can press a button and then you just slip out and then you're just floating down to... And it's quicker. You don't need... There's no passport control. You just...
No.
It's just like there. You're in the country. It's great.
Yeah.
It's great. You get the views... Bit of fresh air on the way down.
I wonder what the airlines provide a massive kind of almost inflatable trampoline type scenario at a particular spot.
That you could just jump.
And there's an X on it and you go, there you go.
They should. If they don't.
Jesus, that's very good. I would consider that.
I feel like planes should also have a retractable kind of helicopter thing. So you know the way planes come in to land and they need a big long runway?
Yeah.
I feel like a plane should be able to land anywhere. I feel like we don't really need airports that much. If we could figure out a way of slowing down the airplane and then like almost have a parachute but for the plane and then it could just fall
kind of
down.
It hovers and plops onto the ground.
Exactly. Exactly. Now taking off might be a problem. Individual planes. I feel like it should be... I've said multiple times on this podcast that I think it's very easy to fly an airplane. And it is. Easier to fly an airplane than drive a car. And safer. I think every school in transition year, they should teach you how to fly a small plane. And then airlines, instead of having big Boeing 747s, a family can just rent a small plane and fly small distances to like... Calais or...
So there'd be like swarms of planes leaving the airport.
Yeah.
Going off in different directions. In
different directions, like little taxis.
I suppose if people can manage on the roads, for the most part.
Yeah.
And not...
There's loads of space in the air.
Yeah.
It's not like they crash into each other.
And if you time them to go every 10 minutes...
Ah, no, so that's what I'm saying. That's what they do with the 747s. Like, you know what I mean? You need to wait and it's like every 10 minutes, like a plane is coming in, then every 10 minutes the plane's going out. So that's 20 minutes. Have two runways, one where they're all taking off.
And one where they're landing.
And one where they're landing, all coming in. And then have another airport for 747 for bigger flights, like to America or to Asia or to the Middle East or whatever.
Yeah, that they can hop and skip across the...
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Stall air.
Yeah.
Viable option. Any other suggestions you want to throw in? Uniforms? Just dress casually. Do we need to see uniforms?
I feel so, you know, Aer Lingus, they have like the cravats and everything. I kind of feel sorry for them.
Yeah.
Like so bit, stuffy and tight. And
it's a bit ridiculous, isn't it?
And yeah, like it should be more comfortable.
Yeah. And I think there should be more realistic food options. Like, you should be able to have a bowl of Rice Krispies or something like...
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Especially if you have the concession stand.
Yeah, there you go.
A little variety.
It should be like a normal kitchen. You open up the fridge and there should be like tomatoes that no one's... That's bought, never used. Or
yeah, gone a bit fuzzy.
Have a pack of ham. Brennan's bread. Come on. All right, stall air. Lads, if you're listening, Michael O'Leary, now's the time. Final question comes in from Damo. Is there anything at all from culchy culture that you think is lacking in the Jackeens? That's a lovely sentence. Is there anything at all from culchy culture that you think is lacking in the Jackeens? I tells you, they know how to put on a funeral, those lads, and a wedding as well, it has to be said. Plus, the pints hit different, I agree. The women are not to be underestimated, and the petrol station delis are different gravy. Any thoughts, Damo?
Ooh. I think the Dubs now have to do a funeral.
Oh, yeah. Have you been to many country funerals now, Joe?
I haven't, to be fair. Oh. To be fair, I haven't.
Operatic.
Yeah.
And it's different.
What's different?
Well, they just, I think, the sense, now not to take away from the sense of community on a street in Dublin, but when the community, in when they roll down the country, like it's a machine that is awe-inspiring. From the little black cones on the road to the fella in the high-vis directing traffic, the village shuts down and something takes over people. That if you're the subject of that funeral, not the victim or the corpse, but a near relative, I'd go so far as to say, even a cousin, you get the full blast of this outpouring of love and support. It is something to behold. I'm not even a religious man, but there's something
too much emotion. Too much emotion for me.
Yeah, there you go. That's what we're like. Us country folks are an emotional bunch, really.
The GAA, yeah. The Colchis fucking love that GAA, it's and huge. That sport in Dublin, which I call Ireland. In Dublin,
AKA.
I feel like we're not passionate about any sport. Mm. Like, I know some people might be into the Irish League or whatever, but when you're saying a funeral, you'll see lads lining up in their GAA the outfits. World, yeah. Oh, geez, he loved the GAA. And they'd all be in their GAA kit and their colours and their flags on the windows and all. I don't feel like you get that in Dublin unless Ireland are doing well in the World Cup or something like that.
Just about, but that's the whole country. Do you know what I mean? And the Dubs are doing relatively well in the hurling, to be fair, but I just don't get that same sense of togetherness.
No.
It's, you know, I know they've got the hill, but the guy down the country is, it's almost mafioso-like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's not one person that's not into it.
No, not affected by it or know somebody in it, yeah.
Like, Dublin were playing Kerry, and I didn't even know. And I didn't even care.
Yeah.
And I think most Dublin fans that you'd see wearing the jerseys in the pub or even on the hill, they're not watching the club friendlies or the club matches. They're jumping in at the quarterfinals and that's when they get involved.
I think it runs deeper down the country.
Yeah, for
generational.
Sure. Yeah.
Generational.
Yeah.
Delis, again, Damo, 100% behind you here. The delis down the country outside Dublin are just top tier.
Are they?
Yeah. You go into one in the Dublin city centre, go back to Talbot Street, there, you can't imagine.
Oh, God, no.
Can you imagine it? But you go down, I'll give a shout out to Mulroy's, for example, in Castlebar. It's the Harrods of delis.
Like, really?
They've got two counters, almost three. It's just spectacular. Even the colours alone, like a Renaissance painter, couldn't capture the glow of the orange, of the egg, the bright, you know, the kind of almost blustery colour of the egg and the nuggets and then the goujons and that beautiful golden crisp of a freshly laid, and they pour out the crisp or the chips into the tray and you're going, oh yeah, and the sausage is a perfect brown, great size, good girth. And it's got the whole thing, it's the whole world on a plate and I love it. So Damo, as a culture myself, may not sound like one, but
oh you do.
I think the countryside has Dublin hands down beaten on pretty much every regard.
They do more options, but you never buy that shit. Like, what are they doing chips for?
What are you doing chips for?
You have wedgies now. You fucking wedgies.
Wedges, nah.
Bleeding chips.
Damo, I'm glad you sent that in now. I feel so much. That little speech I gave myself has given me almost like a Braveheart level of enthusiasm for the rest of the day.
I kind of want to go to Mulroy's.
Gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
I'm hungry now.
I'm sold. But for some wedgies. some egg mayonnaise. Thank you all so much for all your wonderful suggestions and questions. Darren and Joe will be back together as God intended, I promise you.
We will be.
For next week. But Joe, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for... Yeah, thanks.
Sorry, it's your own podcast. Yeah,
thanks for coming in.
I feel like... I'm going to cut all that out.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Sorry. That's the end of the bonus, Joe.
Go on, talk to you later.
Give the...
thanks for stalling it.
There we go.